I'm Sunny Kane, and you're listening to the next Faith-Filled Step right here on Pilgrim Radio. Each week, we'll explore simple, practical ways to respond to God's Word in our everyday lives. Let's choose wisdom over willpower, purpose over pressure, and take the next faith-filled step together. One day, one moment, one decision at a time. Have you ever been in a season where you felt tired? I'm talking about the kind of exhaustion that runs deeper than just needing a good night's sleep. It's that kind of weariness where you're mentally drained, you're emotionally thin, you're spiritually depleted, and maybe from the outside, life still looks mostly fine. You're still showing up, you're still doing what needs to get done, you're still carrying responsibilities and pushing through and holding it all together, and somewhere along the way you realized you're running on empty. Well, my guest today is Pastor Chris White. He is the co-lead pastor of Shine, a Jesus church in Carson City, Nevada, where he serves alongside his wife, Vanessa. He also serves as a regional pastor for Foursquare and has spent years encouraging people in churches, camps, and conferences around the world. But what I love is that while Chris has spoken to large crowds, he's deeply passionate about helping people one-on-one and walking with them through real life and real faith. In today's conversation, we're talking about what it means to refuel your soul in a draining world, why so many of us feel depleted, what Jesus actually offers weary people, and how to find strength for the journey when you feel like you have very little left to give. With that, friend, here's my conversation with Chris White. Chris, I want to thank you so much for being with us today here on the Next Faith-Filled Step.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I am so honored and blessed that you would even ask me. So thanks so much for having me.
Well, before we dive in, I always like asking this question just because I love hearing people talk about who God is to them. And you know how there is this difference between, like, we can all know about God, but there is a difference between knowing him personally. And so what name of God or what aspect of his character most resonates with you in this season of your life?
I would say for me, he is my provider of all things, grace, forgiveness, love, joy. I mean, it is just in a season right now where my kids are older, my kids are graduating, church is running at a different pace than it ever has been. I'm constantly going to him as he is my provider for all things, because without that, I am lost, absolutely lost.
Oh my goodness, I am so with you on that. I'd be lost without him as well, especially in that season that you mentioned in the parenting of adult children. He is our provider, the provider of wisdom, of strength, of grace, all of the things that we need in this season. Thanks for sharing that, Chris. For those of our listeners who, you know, they're just getting to know you, they don't know Chris White, would you just, you know, tell us a little bit about who you are? Tell us about your family, maybe a little bit about your ministry.
Yeah, absolutely. I live and pastor and privileged to do that in Carson City, Nevada, and born and raised in Reno Sparks, Nevada, grew up, became a Christian at 17 years old. My wife became a Christian at 14 years old. We both came from really hard, rough, non-Christian backgrounds. And again, the Lord is just so great and so gracious. I came to him at 17 years old at a Young Life camp. I'm going to get real with you. I told you, straight out of juvie at 17 years old, one of my teachers paid for me to go to Young Life camp. And I went because I saw a video of kids having fun. And I thought, that's where I want to be. Little did I know, at the end of camp, very end of camp, I would put my hand in the air and pray the prayer to ask Jesus into my life. And my life changed forever from that moment. My wife was at that camp. She invited me to come to her church in Sparks after I received Jesus. And it was just rolling from there. Went away, served in ministry in Fresno, California, went to Life Pacific Bible College. She went to colleges all over the places we traveled for ministry and landed back here in Carson City, Nevada. And I'm so blessed to be able to pastor at Shine. And it's been a wild ride, that's for sure. God's been good.
Now, I have heard you talk about your heart for this church, and I understand that you didn't start as the senior pastor, but you have a long history with the church. Can you just tell our listeners a bit about that journey?
Sure, absolutely. So we were working at a Foursquare camp called Old Oak Ranch. in Sonora, California. We would live there on site, far away up in the mountains. It was a really great season. But then the founding pastor, it was called Fountainhead Four Square Church at the time, the founding pastor asked us if we'd be interested in coming to be children and next gen pastors. First, we said, no, thank you so much for the offer. We love you, Pastor Louie, but we feel like we're just going to stay here for a while. Vanessa was pregnant at the time, and we just didn't feel like it was the right season to leave, you know, our doctor and all of the things that she's getting ready to give birth to our daughter, Noelle. Before Vanessa gave birth to Noelle, we prayed and we were like, you know what, we want to be back with family. We want to be back in the local church. And so we called Pastor Louie up and we said, is that still available to come and serve with you? And he said, yeah. So we've actually been here for 18 years and we've been lead pastors now for about 6 years. So we've served the community here. It's so neat that we've got grandparents of the, you know, kids that we've served and, you know, whole generations of families that we've been able to minister to over the years. And it's been an honor to be able to be here for as long as we have. So we did not come here to be lead pastors. We just came here to serve and love on the community. And we just were here long enough that we were the only ones left. So,
yeah. Well, one thing I would love our listeners to know is something that has really jumped out to both my husband and I know glory goes to God, but I do believe honor goes to people. But what I see, Chris, you have such a heart to honor those who have, you know, whose shoulders that you stand on. I have watched you hold with such honor. And, you know, we have got a lot of listeners who are from multiple generations here. We've got people of the generation that you speak so highly about and you honor them. And so I thank you for that because I know a lot of the younger generation comes in and they just want to change things. They don't care about what came before them. And I honor you for being a guy of honor.
Yeah, thank you. You know, it's a quick story on that. It was so great. So when Pastor Louie and I, you know, he's from a different generation than me, but he was so gracious and we kind of switched seats over the years for him to kind of be my associate and for me to be the lead pastor. And I did. There were things that I wanted to change. There was things that I wanted to go to, but I would always go to him out of respect and just say, hey, what do you think about this? Teach me about this. Coach me up on this because I'm standing on the shoulders of giants. I mean, I am blessed to be here where I'm at because he put in such hard work of planting from nothing.
Well, Chris, I so appreciate that you are a person that honors the faithfulness that has gone before you, the legacy that you have been entrusted with. But I know we're here to talk about this idea of running on empty. Now, I know you just did a series for your church, but I'm curious, have you ever been in a season where you felt like you were running on empty? And would you be willing to share that with us today?
You're just going to get my eyes puffy from the beginning here. So I mentioned before that we were working at the camp in Sonora, California. Amazing season of our lives. We both were on staff. We were, you know, when you work for camp ministry, if you've ever, you know, served at a camp or interned at a camp, you know, it's either really, really busy or really, really slow because, you know, everybody's there for camp and you're running a million miles an hour or they're not there and it's, you know, nobody's around basically. And my wife and I, you know, from time to time, we have a pastor that we go sit with that we can get counsel from, marriage counseling from, you know, parental counseling from. And I remember this vividly like it was yesterday. I can still remember where we were sitting. And we were talking about this last season that we came out of. And it was a hard season. It was a busy season. I was exhausted. She was exhausted, you know, two kids and working and ministry and the whole thing. And I remember it like it was yesterday. She looked at me in the eyes and she said, Chris, you failed me. And I knew exactly what she meant. I had put my work and ministry above my wife and my family to the detriment of my own health. The pace that we were running was not good, was not healthy, was not sustainable. So from that moment on, I vowed to never do that. I vowed to always put my family first. And I say always, and I'm sure I've failed and I've messed up and there's been weekends or weeks or seasons, you know, short seasons where I've done that before. But this was just an extensive season where we ran at a pace that we should not have been running at. Since then, I've really tried hard to, you know, I say this, try harder to rest, which kind of sounds like an oxymoron, but, you know, I really feel like I need to try harder to be able to rest, to be able to Sabbath with my family. And so I never want my wife to look at me in the eyes again and say, you failed me. And so, Yeah. So there have been seasons definitely where I've placed busyness over the blessings that God has given me. So I hope to never do that again, but it's definitely something that we have dealt with before. And I think if you've ever been in ministry, or even just own a business, or, you know, there's seasons where that they can just get away from us. Yeah. The trick is to not let that happen. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your honesty there. I think that, like you said, I don't think it's just a ministry thing, because I think I've done this in seasons that I was in ministry and seasons that I wasn't. But prior to your wife saying those words to you, Chris, you failed me, do you feel like there were indicators in your life, warning signs that you were starting to, run on fumes?
Yeah, of course. Of course. I mean, you know, tired and exhausted and, you know, the kind of rest that you can't get from just taking a nap or, you know, taking a long weekend. You come back and you just feel absolutely exhausted. I talk about the difference between, you know, rest and Sabbath, where, you know, you rest and you can lay on the couch and take a nap or binge on some Netflix. But then, you know, Sabbath is us turning our hearts and our minds back to the Lord, where we're intentionally taking a day to say, Lord, I'm not going to work. I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to focus on your word. I'm going to focus on the family that you've given me as a blessing to be able to turn all of our hearts and our minds back to you. And so, yeah, there was definitely warning signs, but I think in that season, and especially being younger too, and just trying to keep everything juggling, I was a new father, and I can't say I was a new husband because we were married about 7-8 years when this happened, but still learning how to do things and juggle everything. But yeah, there's definitely warning signs, where you feel tired and you snap at those that you love the most, or again, just not being able to slow down and stop. You feel guilty because there's all these things that you've got to do. And so just trying to keep the priorities straight.
Well, and I would say in my life, and I don't know if men do this too, but my indicator is always overwhelm. Like every single thing feels overwhelming, including when my husband asked me what's for dinner. I'm like, listen, bro. It's that place of
Paul,
it just
whatever
feels...
you're making, that's what's for dinner tonight, is whatever Paul's making. So that's the deal. I mentioned this in the series, actually. There are seasons in our life where we have one big thing that makes us feel overwhelmed. Maybe it's a diagnosis of a loved one, or a diagnosis even, something that we're going through, the loss of a loved one or a change of a job. I mean, there's times in life and seasons in life where one big thing can overwhelm us.
Yeah.
But I really think that for the most of us, it's 100 little weights that equal the same weight as one big heavyweight.
Yeah.
All of the phone distraction, one more bill, one more meeting, one more email that you got to do, all these weights add up and it becomes overwhelming. So then when your awesome husband, who I love dearly, says, hey, hon, what's for dinner? And you snap. I get that, because you're like, just one more thing. We have to be careful, because there are seasons where one big weight can weigh us down. But then there's also seasons where we just keep picking up and carrying little weights that then just burden us. I feel that.
So this clearly was a series that it resonated across the congregation. What do you think it is about this current season that has so many people spiritually, mentally, and emotionally drained?
Yeah, I thought about this question a lot. And for me, I thought it boiled down to two things. I'm sure there's more that we can add on, but the two things that I thought for us and this generation and just our season where we are as Christians right now, is the first one is lack of Sabbath. I don't think we Sabbath well. I don't think we Sabbath correctly. I think, again, going back to what I said, I think we need to try harder at resting. Yeah. And actually, doing what the Lord asks us to do. And then the next one, I really feel like our phones cause us to feel this way, where we've got another text, another email, social media noise, work noise, everything coming at us all at once. And I really believe that steals away the stillness that God wants us to have with Him. Stillness matters. When we can take time and quiet our soul long enough, we'll remember that God is good. He's present. He's in control of our lives. He's near. He's faithful. And that God is God and that we are not. But what happens, I feel like, is, we've got our phones glued to our hands, our screens, our eyes glued to our screens, and we're never turning things off long enough for us to reflect on, the Lord and what Holy Spirit wants us to do. And so I really believe that those are the two major components to just us feeling as drained and as empty as we feel right now in society.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. And it's funny, that phone thing, it's interesting. We're constantly at this pace of, we have access to more news than we have ever had, right? It is so constant. You're getting all of your updates. I mean, I had to pay money to keep myself away from my phone. I had to buy this, right? Like, I got the Brick. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Don't worry, I'm not promoting this because I'm
Send
selling
it to
it.
Me. I want to know.
But I bought this Brick that it's like a magnet that sits on your refrigerator. You can lock yourself out of whichever apps that you want to for whenever you want to, and you can give yourself only so many unlocks a month. So you have to think twice about, do I want to be on? And I thought, man, it is worth me paying $50 for this thing because I have a problem.
Right. Well, I hear you. You know, I wish we could go back to flip phones or no phones. You know, and one thing I do see actually that's kind of interesting is that, you know, I see more and more people walking away from social media, which I think is awesome. You know, I have a fake social media account just because I have a little bit of addiction to Facebook Marketplace. My son and I love to look at junk on there. But, you know, as far as just kind of wiping social media, just getting away from all of that. That, you know, endless scrolling, you know, really that we become addicted to. And then that steals our joy, steals our peace, steals the rest that we would get from the Lord and having a Sabbath. And we spend that time scrolling when we should be spending it, you know, in God's word, with, you know, the family that he's blessed us with and things like that. So yeah, I'll have to look at that Brick thing. That's, and I know not a sponsor,
but I'm telling you, it has made a difference. And, you know, that's I also know that during your series, you talked about that we need to learn to stop carrying what was never ours to carry. And I think a lot of listeners will resonate with that. What do you think are some of the things that we commonly carry that God never actually asked us to hold?
Yeah, well, I mean, the big one in the series, you know, and I read Matthew 6:34, you know, give your attention to what God is doing right now and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come your way when the time comes. And so the biggest thing that I carry is spending energy worrying about tomorrow, but I'm spending the energy that God has given me for today. You know, so he's asking us to trust him today. And then when tomorrow comes, his grace will be there for us tomorrow. You know, I use the story of, you know, I have teenagers. So Sunny, I know you have teenagers and our kids are in school and they're doing great and they're in sports. And so we help pay for their gas. But we don't give them the gas budget all at one time because when we, you know, when we would give my son money for gas, he would put $20 in the gas tank and then he'd go spend $30 at Chick-fil-A. He was spending the resources on things that I didn't want him to spend the resources on. Yeah. And I really believe that, you know, in scripture, it says that he's going to be there with us for today. We're to rely on him daily for what we need for right now. But I feel like a lot of us were worrying about tomorrow and we're spending the you know, the grace that God's giving us for today on the worries for tomorrow and whatever that might be. You know, everybody's life is different. Everybody's seasons are different. I'll just speak for myself. You know, there's different things that I worry about for tomorrow based on what I feel is coming down the pipeline. Yeah. And so I think that if we can just fix our hearts and our minds and our thoughts on what does God have for me right now, I think we'd be way better off. You know, and we see that in scripture. I mean, Jesus, you know, he often withdrew away to quiet places and he spent time with the Lord refocusing on, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do right now?
So the worry for tomorrow is funny because I'm a planner. And some of us us think like it's just good stewardship to think ahead, right? So help me, like, what do you feel is the balance between looking ahead as a form of good stewardship, but not dipping into that worry? I don't feel like I've ever figured out that balance.
I would say is not letting that become a burden or a stress point, but, giving it to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to give this to you and I'm going to pray. I'm going to prepare. I'm going to plan, but I'm not going to stress about it. We're not going to become anxious about it because, when it shows up in a month, the Lord's grace is going to be there for us, and we've planned, we've prayed, we've prepared. And so why are we stressing about it? Why are we spending, all of these hours and these sleepless nights worrying about something that's not even here yet, and I don't think that should take away from us planning, preparing, and praying for what's coming. But I think where we go astray is when we start to let that become a burden on us for today.
Yeah.
So, and I know you would never do that.
No.
And I would never do that, right?
I mean, never. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? I mean, that's my motto.
We feel like we're helping God by staying up and stressing. And he's like, yeah, I don't need your help there. Stay out of that. I got this. So
for the person who maybe today is listening and they go, man, they're talking to me. They're worrying about something in their future and it is robbing them of their daily life right now. How would you encourage or minister to them in this moment?
For me, I would say, let's do what Jesus does. Let's find the time where we can get away, and we're reminded of this often in scripture. Mark 6:31, Jesus tells his disciples, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. If there was ever a group of people that I think should just work straight through the Sabbath and just keep doing good things, keep doing ministry, keep helping people, keep serving people, it would have been Jesus and the disciples. And we see constantly that Jesus does not do that. Mark 1:35, Jesus went away to a solitary place. There's many, many times in scripture where it says that he went away. Matthew 14:13, Jesus withdrew privately to a solitary place by boat. And Sonny, I'm going to tell my joke on that. If there are any men listening right now, memorize Matthew 14:13. If you ever needed a reason to tell your wife that you needed a new boat, new bass boat, new fishing boat, it's Matthew 14:13. And just say, babe, I need this so I can, draw away like Jesus to a solitary place by boat. But in all seriousness, I think that we need to do what Jesus does. We draw away and we find that time where we can get our hearts and our minds back to, okay, Lord, what do you have for me today? What do you want me to focus on right now? And I think that for so many of us, we never do the drawing away part. We never do the Sabbath part. We're just constantly running, running, running. And every now and then we might throw up a prayer. Every now and then we might throw up a prayer. Lord, help me as we're running a million miles an hour. Mm-hmm. But if we really looked at what Jesus was doing, he was going away where nobody was. He was going away to quiet places where nobody could reach him, where he wasn't getting text messages and phone calls and people weren't tapping him on the shoulder for one more thing. He was getting away and he was spending time with the Father. And I really think that we need to get back to that. Yeah. And so if we're stressing over things, I think that we need to just get back to the roots of what did Jesus do? What did he show us as an example? And that was he went away, mountainside, on the boat, solitary places.
I also loved this and I thought, ooh, that'll preach. And so I have to bring it back here. You talked in this series about, you cautioned people not to make major decisions from a drained place.
Man.
Why do you feel like that is so important?
I have done it and it's awful. And I don't know if you've ever done this or people listening have ever done this, but we see in scripture where Elijah is absolutely just worn out. We see in 1 Kings 19 where, he says that he's traveling in the desert. He came to a small bush. It says he sat under it. He prayed that he would die. And this just came off of a big win in chapter 18. And so, he's wanting to make a permanent decision based on temporary exhaustion. I have done that. Some of my worst mistakes in my life have been me making permanent decisions in temporary exhaustion. There are people sitting in congregations all over the world that are so tired, they're ready to give up.
Yeah.
There are people listening right now who feel so tired that they want to make a permanent decision based on temporary exhaustion. And I love in scripture where the angel meets him and, you know, gives him rest, gives him food, gives him water. And you know, he says in scripture, he says, you know, this journey is too great for you. And I tied that back into us, is that, you know, we're on this journey and it's too great for us. You know, the journey of marriage, the journey of parenting, the journey of just, you know, owning a business or being an employee, it's too great for us. We need the Lord. Many of us, we go at it alone and then we become absolutely exhausted. We feel like we failed and then we want to make a decision based on temporary exhaustion. Whether that means, you know, and I'll say the word, whether that means taking our life. You know, everybody here knows somebody who has experienced a loved one or a family member or a friend who has made that permanent decision. And the Lord just says, please just come to me. My burden is light. I will give you rest. And so for us, I would really hone in on that. Reach out for the help that you need. And I would encourage anybody listening too, you know, if you have a pastor, they're going to absolutely pause everything that they're doing to come and help and stand in the gap in that moment. And then also too, I'll shift gears a little bit. That goes with marriage too. I mean, there are people who are in marriages that feel so exhausted and they want to make this, you know, permanent decision based on temporary exhaustion. You know, Sonny, you've raised kids. It's hard. Marriage is hard. Kids are hard. And without the Lord, I would say it's darn near impossible. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, leaning into the Lord, leaning into, you know, getting the help that we need from our pastors and our churches during these times, but not making, you know, those permanent decisions and temporary exhaustion, I think is so, so important.
What would you say to the person who heard what you said and went, I went to my pastor once and it didn't go so well. And so maybe they find themselves not even in church. What would you say to them in this exact same place?
Email Sunny. I'm sure her email's on the website. For me, I would say if you're not going to church anywhere, I would say plug into church somewhere. And I know that's easy for me to say as a pastor. And I know there is church hurt out there. I know there is pastoral hurt out there. And to that, I would say this, nobody is perfect. I constantly stand in front of our congregation here in Carson City and say, I'm going to let you down. I'm not perfect. We're not perfect. And not that we try to or intend to, but you know, we're never going to find that perfect church. We're never going to find that perfect pastor. But if we can, you know, there is a perfect Jesus out there. And so I would say lean into, you know, a relationship with the Lord, lean into, you know, the Bible app I feel is an amazing, you know, an amazing resource also to be able to search the plans tab down at the bottom of the app there. And you can put in, you know, depression or marriage or, you know, suicide, whatever. And you're going to have 1,000 trusted studies pop up where you can dive into God's word. And then I would encourage you, be around a body of believers and just know, walk in knowing that no one here is perfect, but, you know, really press into relationship with people so that when you do hit those hard moments, you have, you know, shoulders that you can lean on.
Yeah. I'm so glad you went there because I think that oftentimes when we have experienced church hurt, we can live with the lie that we can never try again. And so just that invitation to try again. I mean, people are human.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes we need to hear that truth.
Yeah. And I make the joke all the time. I have some, you know, pastoral friends here in town and I tell it from the front, you know, and it's a joke, but it's also, I'm very serious. You know, if I make you mad or if I hurt you, please go to my buddy's church down the street. You know, I mean, there are great pastors out there, you know, none of them are perfect. But you have to try again. You have to get out there. You know, we need to be rubbing shoulders with believers so that we can be sharper and stronger. But I think if we walk in knowing that no one here is perfect and, you know, I let people down and you let people down, you know, a mentor of mine, Pastor Jerry Cook, used to say, I'm goofed, you're goofed, we're all goofed. If we can just start from that place right there, knowing that, you know, I'm goofed and you know what? My pastor's goofed too. And I'm going to give grace. But if get plugged in, you know, be plugged into a Bible study, be plugged into a church, a home church, whatever it is. But yeah, you got to get back out there and try so you can be rubbing shoulders with other believers for sure.
Well, I have to go here when we're in the middle of a talk on exhaustion. And that is that culturally, it seems that there is such a strong pull towards self-sufficiency and self-reliance. Like it is praised as a strength. Do you feel like this is something that seeps into the church as well as a message in the world?
I do, you know, and I think, you know, this is something that I struggle with. And it's so crazy because, you know, I don't even realize it happens. You know, I'm a month down the road carrying something and I'm like, oh, have I even asked the Lord to intervene and give me direction in this? And I've just been carrying it and I pull my head up and it's been a month, you know, and so we should not be self-reliant. We shouldn't be thinking that we can do this. You know, we definitely need to be pressing into our relationship with the Lord. We need definitely need to press into scripture and seeking out what would he have us do in moments like this. And I think for some of us, it's a matter of just not even being aware that we're doing it. We're just carrying something. We're running around being super mom. We're running around trying to be, you know, super dad or husband or wife. And then a month down the line, we pick our heads up and we realize, okay, Lord, I haven't even invited you into this conversation. Mm-hmm. And I'm exhausted because I'm carrying this on my own. And so I would definitely say that we need to get over that. We need to find ways around that. I'm going to flip the table on you. You know, what do you say about that? Because, you know, I know that, you know, this is something that, you probably have dealt with and done, and, you know, you are so full of wisdom and care as well. I mean, what do you have to say for me about that? Cause that's something that I definitely struggle with.
Oh, goodness. I mean, this is something that I have had in my life, you know, not once, not twice, but several times. And I think that for me, I would believe that that self-sufficiency that seeps into the church is really connected to our, I guess it's a performance-based faith, because we have this perception of what we believe a Christian should show up looking like. And so when life leaves us drained or we feel like the burdens have us stretched, we know that we need to consider it pure joy when we face trials of many kinds. And so what we do is we put our church game face on and we walk into the church with hidden struggles. It's this mask that we carry. That's a performance-based faith rather than a faith that is powered by the Holy Spirit, right? It is a checking boxes kind of thing. And I think sometimes, I mean, I can just speak for myself here. I think sometimes my overworking, my working for God was so much in years past about a trauma response in my life. You know, I just felt like if I could do it by myself, if I didn't need other people, then I would be okay. And you know, that travels with you. And it traveled with me even into ministry. And as God has continued to sanctify me and grow me, I have moved beyond that self-sufficiency to recognize the beauty of the body of Christ. But to sum all of that up, I mean, clearly I could jump on a soapbox here. But to sum all of that up, what I would say is I think this comes about because we have hidden struggles that we are masking, and we're wearing those masks in churches. And it leaves us running on empty because we're not reaching out for the care that we actually need.
Yeah. And I, you know, we try to hit this pretty often, you know, where we say, you know, there's no secret handshake. Don't walk in here with a mask. You know, one of the things that breaks my heart as a pastor the most is I stand at the front door every single Sunday. I love shaking hands. I love, you know, high-fiving the kids as they come in. I love just being available through. If I could do that as my only job, I would do that. When I retire, I want to be a Walmart greeter and I want to learn everybody's names as they come in. One of the things that breaks my heart as a pastor the most is when we have families, husbands and wives walking through the door week in and week out with these smiles on their face, and then I get a call that, you know, they're going through a divorce. And my heart just breaks because I'm thinking, man, you've walked past me for 2 years with smiles. Why didn't we talk? Why didn't we pray? Why didn't we sit? You know, and so I would say, man, please do not do that. Please don't walk through the doors with a mask on, you know. And you know, we've had people, you know, like we talked briefly about suicide, and we've walked families through that, where they walk through the doors with smiles on their face, and then they make a permanent decision based on temporary exhaustion. And we just think, why did you walk through with a smile when we thought everything was fine?
Yeah, it's just devastating. It's devastating when we find ourselves in moments where we thought people were okay and we find out that they're not. And you know, it just speaks to the importance of us realizing we don't have to shoulder everything alone. And I am always in need of a reminder that I don't need to be striving. And it's crazy how often that striving, even striving to earn God's love, striving to live up to what we perceive the expectations of others are.
I coined a phrase for me, the only thing that we should really be striving at is becoming more like Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we strive so much in life, you know, and that constant strive to, you know, to make more money or to buy the next thing or, you know, strive in any different areas of our life. But really, as Christians, we should be striving to be more like Jesus. That should be the thing that we should be straining towards. And so, yeah, I mean, we've got to be careful to not walk in with those masks. We've got to be careful to not strive for anything other than just to be more like Jesus.
The phrase I always used was, I've got nothing to prove and no one to impress. I'm already her, right? Just I'd have to say that to myself, nothing to prove, no one to impress. I'm already her. Meaning I'm already loved by God. I'm already chosen by him. I already have a family to belong to. That's what he gave me at the moment I said yes to him. So, but yet we do. We, as humans, we love moving towards striving. It's like our middle name, Sunny Striving Cane. You know?
What is your middle name, by the way? Is it not Striving?
Oh, I don't know if we should reveal this, but...
No, that's fine.
It's Marlene. Joking. Marlene. Sunny Marlene.
Are you serious?
It's my grandmother's name.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I love it. That's so awesome.
Sunny
Marlene. I didn't know if you were joking or what. There you go. Mine's Edward. I'll have to throw mine out there. Mine was my grandpa's, so there you go.
Well, before we end this today, you know, for the person that is listening right now who feels like they have nothing left to give, maybe they're tired in a way that no one sees. Maybe they're spiritually dry, emotionally thin, and mentally exhausted. Mm. What encouragement would you leave them with today?
I'm going to leave them with Lamentations 3:22-23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I would say if you are on empty, if you are finding yourself striving in all of the wrong areas, can we just do what Jesus did and draw away? Can we Sabbath? Can we remember that the Lord is going to give us new mercies for tomorrow? And so let's focus on him today. That would be my parting words, just be straight from scripture, that his love is not going to fail us. His burden is light. And we need to come to him and give him those big stresses that are in our life, or even the million little stresses that we're carrying around as well.
Mm. Thank you so much. And I am so thankful you've been on today. I think if this has been resonating with somebody, is there any way for them to get their hands on the entire sermon series? And if so, could you tell them where to find it?
Absolutely. ShineNV.org. Is going to be able to, you know, get them to where they need to be able to go. It'll be able to watch. The sermon series is going to be listed there, as well as on Facebook and YouTube as well. But the website's going to be the fastest place for them to find it.
Awesome. Well, Chris, thank you so much for being with us today here on the Next Faith Code Step.
So, Sunny, thank you so much. And hope you guys have a great rest of your week. And we'll see you Sunday.
Well, friend, thanks for listening today. We pray this conversation has been a blessing in your life and that God might give you one faith-filled step to take as a result of what you heard today. If you tuned in late, our guest was Chris White. He is the pastor of Shine Church in Northern Nevada. And if you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube, we want to encourage you to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And if someone came to mind while you were listening today, would you share this episode with them? We have it available anywhere you listen to podcasts, as well as in our Pilgrim Radio app. With that, we'll see you again next week. Well, thanks for listening to the Next Faith-Filled Step right here on Pilgrim Radio. This week, look for one way to respond to what God is revealing in your life. One day, one moment, one decision at a time.